Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Got your host, James, behind the mic. I am joined by our head of news, our co-host, Melissa Kay.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Hope you're having a good one out there. Got some entertainment news to get to. A little bit later, we're going to talk about Wisconsin's favorite flavor of ice cream. Got a bunch of lucrative majors for those going to school or maybe wanting to go back to school or something.
Hey.
We'll wrap up the show with some local events and some good stories of the day. But it's sort of a melancholy moment, but it's also a good moment to start things off for the hour. Plover native and local legend Joe Pavelski has said farewell with a beautiful retirement letter on his social media. Pavelski, we're going to talk more about this on Playmakers on Wednesday, everybody. We'll get much more in depth on this. But one of the he's going to walk into the Hall of Fame. He is a Hall of Famer. He has had that kind of career. He has got close to the Stanley Cup a couple of times, did not win, but including this last season, just has had an incredible career. And he's done a lot in this area over the years. He played for the San Jose Shark for a long time, and for a long time in Plover, when you came into Plover, you saw a big sign, said home of Joe Pavelski, and it was something that really humbled him. And he talked about this and some other things in this beautiful retirement letter that he wrote. And I think that there's, as a sports fan, there's a lot of unique retirements in history. I think the most famous, Jim Brown, retired from the set of The Dirty Dozen. There's some interesting ones. This letter is incredibly well written, and I'm looking forward to seeing what Mr. Pavelski does with the next act of his career, with the next act of his life. But he's done a lot. Great player. Again, we'll talk more about this on Playmakers on Wednesday. Join us from 5 to 6 for that. And if you're curious about that letter, I did see it on his Instagram. You can find it there. It's also on his Twitter page as well. The Dallas Stars reposted it. It's a really nice, good letter. Well written. Here's some news that will probably not shock you. Justin Timberlake is the lone holdout standing in the way of an NSYNC reunion.
Surprise, surprise.
Supposedly, multiple promoters have pitched the guys a stadium tour, and every other member of the band is on board, and Justin is the only person not responding. He's literally not responded to anybody or anything. He has been ghosting his old teammates, if you will, his old band members, and a lot of these promoters. Partly because he is kind of focused on his world tour, and I don't know if you heard, but he's had some other stuff going on. The rest of the guys are disappointed because they think that the timing is perfect. The 2025 is NSYNC's 25th anniversary, and the recent reunion for Trolls Band Together drummed up interest from more from the band. Supposedly, the other four guys had a meeting in New York City yesterday to discuss the future of the group and what it could look like if they move ahead without Justin.
More power to him, I say.
I don't know that I'd want him. Right. He's kind of toxic right now, and has been
dragged down.
He has been for a while, and not for nothing, but man, that kid really likes to appropriate stuff. You know, I mean, obviously he did it with hip hop and with R&B for quite a while there, but even did it with country, where he just thought he could walk into the country world and kind of, you know, take it over.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's Justin Timberlake. Who's not going to love him? Sorry.
Yeah, no. It's just kind of like, it's one of the, to me, like, it's so difficult to get your break. It's so hard to get to a point in your career where you are respected or you're known or you're a household name. When I see people get to that place, it just boggles my mind how they can blow it up, how they can just ruin it and just can't get out of their own way.
An inflated ego.
Yeah.
An overinflated ego.
We were talking earlier about Daniel Radcliffe. And, you know, Justin Timberlake, you can make the argument a child star. Yet very young when he got his break and all those things. And the differences of people. And one of the major things I see that comes, I always seem to come back to with these artists is, do they have a good base? Do they have a base that keeps them grounded? Do they have a base that keeps them in the know of what is actually going on with people? And they're not just living in a bubble.
There's a lot of factors, especially for a child star.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's a lot of stress and a lot of things, factors that play into how they turn out. It's not just on them. It's hard enough to be a teenager growing up, let alone to be constantly in the spotlight. So, you know, we'll give them that pass. But, and then he made some choices as an adult that,
yeah, you got to take accountability for. If I was NSYNC, I would go, I would like, because there's like 90 boy bands, right? Just grab a lead singer from one of the other boy bands. Like, what is it, 98 degrees, 93 degrees?
Can we borrow you?
Yeah, yeah. Why not? Why not? I mean, and do some of their songs too. You know,
find a young upcoming talent that's doing great work and they need to, you know, they need a kickstart.
There are so many bands that, actually, there are probably 90% of the bands out there that do not have their original members.
Right.
I thought I had a pretty good idea. I like yours better, Melissa. Yeah, that's a much better idea. Find somebody who's similar to sounding like Justin, like a lot of, you know, bands do.
Hold auditions.
Who is it? Journey did something like this. Journey did when Steve Perry left. You know, they found a guy that sounds almost just like him. There's ways of doing that.
Absolutely.
Gosh, AC/DC famously found a singer that sounded exactly like Bon Scott. I mean,
there's a lot of voices out there, and you know, voices can only be so different.
Well, and probably a lot of voices that aren't going to bring the headache he does or the toxicity. I mean, he's not. I think that they had to bring this up and they had to address it because if they do replace him, but
they need to be able to say, hey, we tried.
Yes.
We reached out to him.
Yeah.
He ghosted us. Mm-hmm. You know, he never responded. So this is where we're going to go now.
I understand being busy, but man, that's some cold stuff to have played with a band, toured with them for a decade or so, and to, you know, just
them off.
That's messed up. There's a reboot of the 1997 horror flick I Know What You Did Last Summer in the works, and it's supposed to hit theaters next summer, and it looks like the cast is going to include a lot of the original cast members. Jennifer Love Hewitt, Freddie Prinze Jr. starred in the original, and they're also set to return.
That's cool.
They're also bringing on a bunch of other actors from a lot of, like, Riverdale and some other shows there, so they're putting a lot of big names behind this and a lot of money behind it. Mm-hmm. The reboot idea of more of a legacy sequel is like the recent Scream series or Halloween or Exorcist. That's sort of what they're talking about here a little bit. So it's probably not going to be a sequel or a prequel, more of a kind of like with Twisters, where they take a little base from the original movie, but they're not glued to it.
Right. They did a very nice nod a couple of times to the original movie, but this wasn't a sequel.
This is the way that Hollywood is going to get around. Okay, you guys don't want the reboots anymore? Oh, you guys don't want the prequels anymore? Okay, well, we still haven't come up with new ideas, so how about this? And it's working. It's working. It actually is probably the perfect way of doing this because audiences are tired of prequels. Audiences are tired of remakes and reboots. But reimaginings, that's a little bit different.
Yeah.
It modernizes a lot of these things. You know, the original Twister was great, but you go back and watch it, and the special effects, even though that movie is not that old, the special effects are a little bit kind of, you know, outdated. Taking a concept like that and reimagining it while also giving a tip of the hat to the first movie is, I think, if you're going to do it, the perfect balance of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good, and we'll see. The problem also is with the success of a Twisters or movies like that, of course, Hollywood is going to do this with almost everything. So get used to that.
But that's not as bad as just trying to continue a series beyond its actual plausibility as a series, like the Fast and Furious movies. What are they up to now? 9?
Fast and the Furious 30. We're just going to a car dealership now. We ran out of cars. We ran out of money in cars. We're just at a car dealership. I want to see Fast and the Furious, but with real cars. Like you know, I want to see a Ford Nova out there. I want to see some of that. There's a reimagining I want to see. I want to see Vin Diesel behind, you know, in a bug.
A VW bug or a Toyota.
I live my life 2 miles at a time. I like that. We'll see. There are going to be more of these real coming cars out, everybody, though. There are going to be more. One thing that you never get any repeats with and always a great performance is, of course, local theater. And we want to highlight Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater and their upcoming HOPO production, youth production of It's a Madhouse.
Yeah, they've got their cast. They're already getting going.
Mm-hmm. August 3rd and 4th are the production dates. That August 3rd show will be a 7 o'clock. August 4th will be a 2 o'clock matinee.
Don't wait to get your tickets because these kid shows sell fast.
And if the tickets haven't sold out by the end of this segment, a little bit later today on Midday Magazine, we're going to have Stephanie on with us, director of It's a Madhouse. And they'll sell after that. Stephanie can sell. Steph's great.
Oh, yeah. And I think she's bringing on a few members of the cast, and you guys will have a great conversation.
Anytime I get to have the cast members in the studio with me is always a fun time. It's going to be great. Do want to remind you as well that WRCT is getting ready to celebrate its 50th season in 2025.
That's right. Season tickets are on sale. You should get yours now because it's going to be an awesome season.
We encourage you to buy local, support local, and that includes the arts that are severely underfunded in this state. We encourage you to support these all of our local theaters wherever you're listening to us.
Absolutely. And we are so lucky and blessed with our very own Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater.
It's my second home. And I love that place, and never going to be shy about that. We appreciate the people over at WRCT and the work that has been done, not just the people that are there now, but the people over the decades that have worked there, that have been there, that have been on those stages, going from Macmillan Library to our own personal stage that we have now. And we want
you to forget about our roots of you know, who got us to where we are now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And one of the ways to honor that, I think, is to be a part of the shows. We want you to be a part of these, whether you're auditioning to be on the stage or you'd like to do props or be an assistant, a director, anything. We're always looking for more people to be a part
of
these
things. Maybe you want to usher for a show or help out with hospitality, sell raffle tickets during a performance. I mean, all of those things are needed, and we're grateful when people can step up and help out.
When I was laying on the floor this weekend after sliding down the stairs and I'm laying there like a turtle on its back and I can't get up, I had a couple moments to think, Melissa.
Did you? That was the moment? Chose to think?
Yeah, okay. As I'm just laying there. And I had a couple of thoughts rush through my head. But one of them was... I am an actor, first, and I am insane about acting, and I love to act any opportunity I get. And I don't have a lot of time to do these things when it comes to community theater. And I have not been shy about gunning for Arsenic and Old Lace. That is a performance that I want. Mm-hmm. But I know that I've done a lot acting wise, and I've put a lot on that stage. I'm trying to think of other ways I can do, and I've certainly donated money to WRCT, and that goes a long ways. But next season, I'm going to throw my hat in the ring to direct.
Are you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to do it. And part of the reason I'm saying it on the air is for accountability. To make darn sure that nobody lets me forget and that I do it. Because we are in need of directors. And that we need directors more more than ever. And new directors and fun directors. And we've got some great ones this season with WRCT's main stage shows. Drinking Habits is right around the corner. Auditions are August 12th and 13th. We encourage you to come on down. If you haven't auditioned before and you'd just like to kind of feel things out, that's cool. Come on down.
Sure.
We'd love you to
try.
Mm-hmm. And whether it is on stage or off stage or even being a part of the shows or maybe even just ushering, there's lots of ways you can impact and help your local community theater.
Mm-hmm. There is, absolutely.
WRCtheater.org. WRCtheater.org is the website. Go ahead and check that out and get your season tickets. Again, Drinking Habits is right around the corner. Their fall production. Their Christmas show this year is Irving Berlin's White Christmas.
Yeah, this is exciting.
Through the winter, we're going to warm up with a comedy, Arsenic and Old Lace, a classic. Mm-hmm. It's going to be there for you. And of course, the season wraps up with Noises Off, directed by our own Melissa Kay.
That's right.
That's going to be a great season. I mean, this is a perfect way to celebrate their 50th year.
It is. It's a really great lineup with great directors for the shows. I'm excited to make my directorial debut at WRCT. Noises Off is going to be a fun show. I'm building a great team, and I can't wait. It's going to be so much fun.
Yeah. I'm more jacked about that than I am actually Arsenic and Old Lace, which is insane to me.
But Stephanie Horth is directing Arsenic and Old Lace. I feel like we should mention the other directors. Mm-hmm. Susan Becker is directing White Christmas, and I believe Jung Young is directing Drinking Habits.
Yeah, yeah. It's exciting.
And then that's just the main stage, people.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be stuff happening on the Lois Canton Theater stage as well, you know, throughout the season. So there's lots to watch out for at WRCT.
I know Seth has
their Facebook page.
Mm-hmm. Seth has something that he's working for over there. We, of course, want to mention our Silver Foxes as well. Yes. and the great productions that they do. And there's another one. If you are a senior and you'd like to be a part of things at the theater, Silver Foxes are waiting for you.
They are. And there's no pressure to memorize your lines with the Silver Foxes. They make accommodations for, you know, every ability level with their shows, and they have so much fun.
Buy local, support those that support us. You get your tickets and find out more at wrctheater.org.
Mm-hmm. Before we go to break, can we do a callback to our dips? Because I heard from a listener.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay, how did we miss marinara?
Well, I journalistically, I should mention, half my blood is marinara. So I didn't know. To me, it's not just a dip or a sauce. It's life. It's manna. No, actually, you're 100% right. I can't believe I forgot that.
And thank you, Tom, from EdgeVR, for reaching out and mentioning marinara as a dip. Because, yes, what else do you dip, for those of you that eat cheese, your mozzarella sticks in? For me, breadsticks.
Mm.
You gotta have marinara for your breadsticks.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of garlic.
I'm trying to find my Italian card. I may have to give it up. I may have to. My father's going to be very mad at me.
But for those of you out there that have not yet visited EdgeVR, highly recommend it.
Yeah.
You're going to have a fun time. The car simulator. Yeah.
Yeah.
You want a dirt rally?
Mm-hmm.
Do it at EdgeVR because it's so fun.
Buy local, support local, everybody, and have some fun while you're at it, too. They've got an escape room over there. Got a lot of cool things.
Yeah, Xbox. And I mean, not to mention the virtual reality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. We're going to be talking more about them, that's for sure.
For sure.
We are going to take a quick time out. We'll come back, and a little bit later, we're going to talk about Wisconsin's favorite ice cream flavor. What could it be? Coming up next, we're talking dogs. Hot dogs. Coming up.
Ooh.
Hot dog, hot diggity dog. On the morning show at WFHR. Hot dog, hot diggity dog. Dun, dun. Oh, geez.
I wish I knew that song. I'd sing along with you.
It's a Mickey Mouse song. It's the kids.
Okay.
The kids. Yeah. Welcome back to the show, everybody. We hope you're having a good one out there. I didn't know if I'd be singing alone or if you were going to join me. We didn't plan that out.
No heads up.
I was out. I should have given you a heads up on that one. That was on me. That's on me. We are talking dogs right now. Google posted a map of the top hot dog style each state is Googling for more than other states. Most aren't too surprising, like Chicago-style hot dogs in Illinois. That's not Chicago. That's not surprising at all.
Right.
But there are some interesting ones out there, like Korean hot dog is a top search in a bunch of states this year. It's kind of like a corn dog, but with different batter.
Okay.
I would try that.
Corn dogs are so good.
Man, corn dogs are underrated. Love corn dogs.
I love me a corn dog. I haven't had a corn dog in a really long time.
That's funny. You know, I was just going to say, I couldn't even remember the last time I had a corn dog. I got to have one. It's been too long.
Mm-hmm.
Sonoran hot dog in Arizona, Colorado, and Kentucky. It's like a hot dog and a taco had a baby.
That would be good.
I got to look this one up. All right, that I have not heard of that one before, and I'm looking.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if that was an option, I'd probably try it. Personally, I really like tacos.
And
I really like, you know, the traditional hot dog in the right setting.
Yeah.
I'm not going to make them at home.
I typically. Whenever, outside of like the Choco Taco, like anytime I have a taco option, I'm always just going to go with the taco. I can't resist it. If this was proposed to me, I would be like, okay, it looks really good, but probably not.
Yeah. And it sounds like, James, we might be having tacos in our parking lot next month.
Ooh, interesting. All right.
Yeah. I heard back from a food truck.
Nice. Great work. We are going to have a lot of fun.
We've, so much fun. We can't wait to talk about this.
Oh, we're so close to it, everybody. We are going to be having a pretty cool party here. But moving on.
Sorry.
Nope. That's all right. That's all right. I'm the same way. If you didn't do it, I would have.
I just got a text. Couldn't help it.
So this dog that we're talking about, it consists of a hot dog that is wrapped in bacon and grilled, served on a Bolillo style hot dog bun and topped with pinto beans, onions, tomatoes, and a variety of additional condiments, including mayonnaise and mustard and jalapeno sauce.
Okay. Mm. Maybe not the last three things, but yes.
I like the bun. I'm such a bread guy, and I like the bun.
They wrap the hot dog in bacon?
That seems pretty good to me.
And then they put beans on it? Mm. I'm all here for this.
Maybe
I would want guacamole, though, instead of the mustard and whatever else you named for condiment tops.
I'm with you on that one. Crescent roll hot dog is popular search in New Mexico. Yes. They're like... Yes. They're
it's like pigs in a blanket.
Yeah, it's basically that's what it is. Yeah. But they're bigger. They're just a little bit bigger. But
yeah, my mom used to make those for us. That was a special treat.
Pigs in a blanket are great. Oh, your mom used to make these kind, the crescent roll?
Yeah, she'd wrap them in crescent rolls. Well, no, that's not always true. That happened once or twice. Usually she did it with her homemade bread dough.
White hot dog is number one in New York, especially upstate New York. The meat is a combination of pork, beef, and veal.
Okay. And it's called a white hot dog?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why. I'm not seeing that one. I am seeing that we got a call coming in. Good morning. You're on the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I love hot dogs. several times when I go to the Raptors game, I order a hot dog without the bun. And before I walk away from the stand, I already got one or two bites out of it.
Nice.
my dad has joked that part of the reason he loves baseball is because of hot dogs, because he loves hot dogs so much.
It makes sense.
Yeah, you're always going to have a dog at the park. I think they got the
good beef ones. They got the real thick beef ones there. Yes. So they're really great. Yeah.
Oh yeah. In Milwaukee too, the Brewers, they got that special sauce you can put on them and everything. And yeah, there's just something about a hot dog, summer, and baseball, just a perfect combination. Always good to talk to you.
Have a good day.
Yeah, you too, sir. You too. Appreciate the call. 715-424-2600. Keep calling up, everybody. We love to hear from you guys.
Yeah. Is there a place that you like to get your hot dogs from that's not a baseball game?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Is there a local place or anything especially we can highlight? We'd love to be able to do that. Red hot dog is number one in Georgia, North Carolina, and New Hampshire. Interesting combination there. It's actually two different types. In the South, it's a spicy hot dog. In Northeast, it's a different kind of red casing.
I think that's what Phil was telling us about.
Yep.
Red snappers.
Snappers is what they're called. Yeah. Yeah. That's the top search in Maine by far and away. Phil wasn't joking. Mm-hmm. They love those out there. And Phil really loves them. He was telling me.
Yeah.
That was good. It made me. He sold it to me. I would definitely try one.
Yeah.
Brazilian hot dogs top the list in Ohio and Kentucky. Connecticut, I'm sorry. It's a hot dog covered in meat sauce, Parmesan, shoestring potatoes, and peas.
Interesting.
Dirty water hot dog is big in Hawaii. I love the name of that one. When you boil them and add things like vinegar and garlic powder to the water.
Okay.
Ooh, I would try that. That's interesting. And almost wrapping up, just a couple more notes on this one. Alaska is Googling reindeer hot dogs. And I had
hot dog made from reindeer. Okay.
I wanted to look to make sure it is made with reindeer meat and topped with Coca-Cola glazed onions. That's kind of it. You can put on whatever other toppings you want, but that is pretty much the essence of it.
Okay, but Coca-Cola glazed onions. That would probably be pretty good.
It does sound interesting. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm here or there about trying different meats. You know, things that I haven't tried before. I guess when in Rome, might be a little bit different if I'm in a different country or something like that. But otherwise, I don't know. I've always been a little weary of some of that.
Well, you know, here in central Wisconsin, we have Newski's Meats. And they have some pretty fantastic hot dogs, I have to tell you. Mm. If you haven't had a Newski's hot dog, you're missing out.
I got to get that on there. That's on my list now. That is on my list. looking at this Google search, what about local, states are near us and everything? Of course, as I mentioned, Chicago, looking into Chicago-style hot dogs. They're looking at beef hot dogs over in Michigan. Minnesota is also looking at beef hot dogs. And what about Wisconsin? Well, Chicago-style hot dogs. Which immediately in telling Wisconsinites that they are now going to search for anything other than Chicago-style hot dogs.
Okay, but what is a Chicago-style hot dog, James?
To me, as a, I will say it's a Vienna hot dog. It's a beef hot dog. It's that is the essence of it. If you're starting with that, if you're starting with a beef dog, then you got a Chicago hot dog there. And to me,
do you put on top of it?
Mustard. Now, I personally have no problem with people putting ketchup on it, but there are a lot. This isn't so much with the younger generations, but old school Chicagoans, they will flip out if they see you put anything other than mustard on a hot dog. And it is one of the most ridiculous things to me.
People are that way about brats, too, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. But they ain't eating it. I get if you're going to get bent out of shape if somebody is making it for you and handing it to you to eat.
Right.
But if you're not even eating it.
You're not the person eating it. Don't cast shade on other people's food.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't understand that one. That seems silly to me. And I'm talking about this about family members that have done this to me. I'm not even saying like
talking
strangers.
About you, Uncle Joe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Back
Joe.
Up. It's my hot dog.
Yeah. We'll come back.
Ketchup on it if I want.
After our news break, we'll be back with Wisconsin's favorite ice cream flavor and much more.
Blue Moon.
Yeah, it's coming up on The Morning Show on WFHR. Round, round, get around, I get around, yeah, get around, round, round, I get around, I get around. Get around. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James hanging out with you. Thanks for joining us, everyone. Hope you're having a great day out there.
Yeah,
we're celebrating ice cream in this month as it is ice cream month in July, and it's summer, so we're talking a lot of ice cream.
We're only can celebrate ice cream for 1 month.
Yep, that's it. No. All summer long.
James, summer is not the only time to celebrate ice cream.
It's a very solid point. I talked to my mom about this a couple weekends ago because her and my dad have gotten into a real ice cream kick in their older age. I actually have had to yell at them that ice cream is not dinner. So we were talking about it and everything, and she was saying how she actually likes ice cream more in the winter. And it just kind of like threw me
it's
a little
almost
bit.
Almost a comfort food.
That's what she was saying. Yeah. And I'd never really thought of it that way, but you know, I could see that. And certainly ice cream has long time been a comfort food for a lot of people, but uh-huh. I hadn't thought about, it, especially being in the winter, a comfort food. I thought that was interesting. My mom is a big fan of getting a warm blanket around her and, sitting back and watching her shows while eating a pint of ice cream.
Yep.
And probably not
with
the whole pint.
Fuzzy socks on.
Yes. In honor of National Ice Cream Month and all of that, a new Google search analyst by Affordable Seating revealed the most popular ice cream flavor in Wisconsin.
All right.
And
see how wrong they are.
And they chose, in Wisconsin's winning flavor, in true Midwestern fashion, is the one that Melissa told us earlier, Blue Moon.
Yeah!
You got it right, Melissa. You got that one right. That, of course, means... winning bell and cheers. Nicely done. Points to Melissa. Following Blue Moon, Affordable Seating said Wisconsin's other favorite flavors include Superman, what is Superman flavor?
It's like I think it's like cotton candy and something
else. Oh, okay. Because Neapolitan is second, and I thought Superman ice cream was basically just Neapolitan ice cream, but okay.
Superman is like a blue and red. Or blue and pink, really, are the kind of the colors. That's why it's called Superman, but I don't know exactly what the flavor is.
Superman ice cream is a three-flavor ice cream that usually appears in red, blue, and yellow, although it originated in the Midwest. Oh, yeah, I've seen this. I've seen this before. Yeah. Okay, so that is number two. Number three, Neapolitan. Then vanilla.
All right.
And Spumoni. Spumoni. Let's see here.
Spumoni. How's it spelled?
S-P-U-M-O-N-I. Spumoni. It's a molded gelato made with layers of different colors and flavors, usually containing candied fruits and nuts. Interesting. Okay. I haven't seen that one, but all right. And, of course, Blue Moon won the state by a landslide, beating out Superman by over 1,000 Google searches.
Yes.
So that's kind of interesting. Other flavors that made the note of chocolate and strawberry were also in the running as well.
That's what Neapolitan is.
Mm-hmm. And so, right. So not really branching out in a lot of different avenues here or anything, but certainly Blue Moon is by far and away one of the more popular flavors in the world, let alone here in the Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Let's go ahead and take a call. Good morning. You're on the show.
Wrong.
Why are they wrong? What's your favorite?
I'm going to go back decades. Got to get the Hirschlips.
Oh, mm-hmm. There you go.
Peanut butter cup with a big chunk of peanut butter in it.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh. Peanut butter and ice cream.
Blue Moon's okay, but you got to add the bubblegum flavors into it to make the good Blue Moon.
Oh, there you go. That's my
that
stuff.
That was always my favorite at Hawkeye. I'd get a scoop of Blue Moon and a scoop of bubblegum.
And I kid you guys not, I thought that I was like sneaking something from the ice cream player because I was getting two snacks for one. I was getting bubblegum and ice cream. I thought I was pulling one over. Kevin, you went a different direction than I thought. I was waiting for somebody to say the moose tracks.
Mm.
I thought that would be the more...
I can see it going that way, but I thought my thought was would have been maple. What's the name? Maple and
maple nut.
I think I know what you're talking
something
about.
Something with maple, yeah, mm-hmm. or maybe butter pecan too.
We've
been closer to those, you know.
Well, Blue Moon is probably my favorite. The one that I can usually find in a non-dairy form that is my second favorite. Is chocolate chip cookie dough.
Oh, such a classic.
Oh, yeah.
That's a classic. That's a good one.
Yep.
I love those. Those are all great ones. And a good shout out to Hirschlips, Kev. Nice shout out. That's a great place. Loved Hirschlips. Great spot.
I mean, I lived down in the Twin Cities, but every time we came to Wisconsin Rapids, it was Hirschlips. We always had to go to Hirschlips. Mm-hmm. You know, that was one of my favorites. They also had a very good banana split there when you went there for banana split. But
their root beer float was good too. They had all kinds of great stuff over there at Hirschlips. Great spot. Great conversation, man. Thanks so much for joining us.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
You too, man.
You too.
Best listeners in radio. Call up. Let us know what your flavor is, what your favorite flavor is. We've got mm-hmm. Wisconsin's. What about Wisconsin Rapids? What about Rapids here or any other cities surrounding us here? Let us know.
We got some great ice cream places in Wisconsin Rapids.
Oh, yeah.
And in surrounding areas. Nakusa has Sweetwaters. That's a really great place to get. Or Swiftwater.
It's a great spot. Go check that out. I've been there a couple mm-hmm. of times. It's a really good spot. And so many great local places to visit for your ice cream and mm-hmm. for your custard, if you are interested. And, of course, our friends at Culver's got some great custard for you.
Yeah, because that's not technically ice cream. Mm. It's different.
It's a little different. And, boy, it doesn't get much better than the custard over at Culver's. And, would you look at that? We got a Culver's commercial coming right up. We're going to go ahead and take care of our partners, and we'll come back and have some more fun. We're going to talk a little bit about these degrees, the most lucrative college degrees coming up.
Telling us what we should have done.
The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show here at WFHR. Melissa and James taking it to the top of the hour. Too much for the man. Sun's starting to come out as we're wrapping up the show. We're going to take it right to the top of the hour, everybody. Get you ready for some great other programming that we've got coming up. More on that in a moment. But we're going to get to this one, Melissa. And I love what you said as we were going to break. The degrees we should have gone after. The Federal Reserve Bank of New York released data on the most lucrative areas of study for college grads. And not surprisingly, radio was not on there. But engineering is.
All right.
Here's the top 16 along with the median salaries out of college.
Okay.
And looking at the top one that they have on the list here, computer engineering, $80,000 a year.
Oof.
That's a nice degree.
Yeah.
Chemical engineering comes in next, just a hair under that at $79,000.
Mm.
Computer science at 78.
Okay.
Aerospace engineering at 74%, my old job. Oh, man. No. No. Did not ever have a chance at that one. I had trouble spelling aerospace, actually. Electrical engineering at 72,000. Industrial engineering at 71,000. Noticing a trend here yet, anybody? Mechanical engineering at 70,000. And then it is a tie between general engineering and miscellaneous engineering at about 68,000. Finance is at 66. And then there is a four-way tie between civil engineering, economics, business analytics, and mathematics, all at 65,000 a year. Then there is another tie between construction service and pharmacy at 64,000 a year. On the flip side, the fields with the lowest wages right out of college include theology and religion, performing arts, liberal arts, leisure and hospitality, treatment therapy, social services, and psychology. Nutrition, history, fine arts, elementary education, secondary education, anthropology, philosophy, and criminal justice all round out the bottom half. So there's a lot of different angles.
Off a lot of degrees that are a lot of important jobs,
right,
that we need in society.
And that,
that
feel,
don't pay very much.
And feel like we should be changing that. We should be looking at our approach to this. And, you know, we're struggling right now to bring dentists, to bring in rural areas. We're struggling to bring OBGYNs to rural areas. Aspirus, just in their Merrill offices, are not, you know, delivering babies anymore. We've got these issues going on in a lot of different elements and a lot of different fields. If you want change with these, it's going to come down to price and cost, you know, and along with other things, benefits, cost of living in an area, a lot of this stuff. One of the major things that every state is trying to do right now is not only keep the people they have, but bring new people in. And one of the ways of doing that is better pay. It's not, this isn't rocket science. It doesn't take, there's other factors, certainly. But one of the major things is going to be, hey, what is the cost of living and how much am I going to be making? And, oh, these don't add up.
Plus the ability to pay all your bills and pay off your student loans.
Yeah. And we're constantly telling young people, you don't want to dedicate, you know, don't work too hard, don't do this, don't do that. But at the same time, and follow your passions. Well, what happens when your passion leads you into elementary education,
Or criminal justice, or become a police officer?
Right. In order to get good people in these positions, you've got to pay them a good wage. There you go.
And make school affordable. Make it so people can go to school and then not be crippled by student debt for years and years and years.
There's a lot of great jobs out there. There's a lot of great fields out there that a lot of people want to get into. And when you look at the cost of living or how much they're being paid, you're seeing a lot of people pulling away from those industries. There's fields we haven't even touched on with this. When you look at all the different medical fields, like sports education and sports sciences and some of that. And
you want to get a medical degree? Oh, how much student debt is that going to bring on?
Right. And that's the other factor of this, of am I going to be able to pay that off with this particular job? Am I going to, yes, with my fine arts degree, am I going to be able to pay off all of that? And so that it completely distorts what the education process is supposed to be. You get a passion, you get a spark for something, and you follow through on that spark, and you try to make a career out of it, i.e. the American dream. To get paid to do what you love to do. But there is obviously some holdouts on that that aren't there. Engineering wasn't always in this place. Engineering got into this place because of the way technology went and everything. This is something that is fixable. This is something that we can do something about as a society.
And I'm not begrudging, I'm not saying that people shouldn't pay toward their student loans. They absolutely should. But should banks be making a profit off of those loans?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Especially because if your business model is how can I nickel and dime people, you don't have a good business model. It doesn't work. There's a lot of those out there in a lot of different fields. But I'm curious to see where these fields go. Like, because one of the things that happened during the pandemic is the Great Migration. So many people going from, you know what, I don't want to slave away at a job anymore. I don't mind making a little less to do something I love. And a lot of there was a number of people out there that were saying that, well, you're going to see a whole flush of people going back to the workforce and going back to this and that. Warren Buffett said it best. People don't go back on their passions. And we have not seen that happen. People have stayed with that, have stayed the course of that. And instead of, slaving away and making minimum wage, they open the Etsy shop and they're doing fine. They're almost making the same amount, if not more.
Well, and it takes a lot of work and effort to do those things. That doesn't just fall into your lap.
You're seeing a lot of help wanted signs. You're seeing a lot of those things out there, and you want to get those signs taken down. It's going to involve minimum wage, and it's going to involve those not leaving up to businesses to make that a standard. Why should it be on businesses to do that? We've got a government for a reason. Okay, it's time for you guys to do your job. Wisconsin has been sitting here at the same minimum wage for over a decade.
$7.25. Well, it's the federal minimum wage.
It's the federal, and that's something that needs to be tackled as well first, really.
But some states have, are doing it themselves. They have increased their minimum wage in their state. Mm-hmm. Wisconsin is not one of them.
I again, pay attention to who you're voting for and who is on the right side on this one, because it's not a matter of, that's just an opinion. No, this is science. This is math. It's again, not that difficult to figure out that I don't think a teenager could live on a minimum wage, let alone any grown adult. Mm-hmm. We got some good stories of the day I want to get to. First, the first one on the list is our schedule and our lineup. Of course, stick around for Matt and Air on the Air right on after us. Mm-hmm. Jane and Greg do a great job with that show. Encourage you to stick around for that. A little bit later, the Maggie Dawn Show from 2 to 4.
Before that is the Todd Alba Show from noon to 2, which may or may not be interrupted by Vice President Kamala Harris because she is visiting in Milwaukee today. We're not sure how that's going to play out.
Keep it right here to find out.
Yeah.
A little bit later, from 4 to 5, join us Monday through Friday for Midday Magazine.
Mm-hmm. We got some special guests in today, like we always do.
Yeah. Today, in part one at 4 o'clock, we're going to have Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater's Hopo production. Stephanie Horth going to join us, director over there. I believe she's got some cast members with her, too. Looking forward to that. That's going to be fun. Always love talking with Steph. And then in part two, we'll have our Wisconsin Rapids Family Center on with us. Amy Scheid's going to join us. We're going to talk about some great events that they have coming up. But Amy and I are going to spend some time on the VOCA cuts that have happened. With our domestic violence shelters and how this is go time, everybody. We need all hands on deck when it comes to this. Encourage you to listen to that interview later today. That is going to be a very fun and informative hour. Join us for Midday Magazine today. Mm-hmm. Keep in mind, Rafters are a part of their All-Star break right now, so they are off until Thursday when they got a doubleheader coming up. We'll talk more about that as we get closer to it. That's going to be a lot of fun, though. Looking forward to it. And, of course, free meals for kids are going on right now. Keep that in mind, everybody. We have lunches available until August 16th, 11:30 to 12:30 over at the Mead Park near the Splash Pad in Rapids, and also from 11:30 to noon over at Witter Park near the shelter outside the Aquatic Center. If you are or know somebody, there's a kid out there hungry, make sure that they find out about this and get them over there for those lunches. And thank you to everybody involved in that.
Yes, and this is open to any child 18 and under.
Our Wisconsin Rapid City Band hard at work tonight, 7:30, Robinson Park, and featuring the Swing Doctors.
Hey,
check
your dancing shoes.
Yeah, have a good time. Support our city band. Got some of our great, most talented people a part of that band. Have some fun with it, everybody. And taking the Swing Doctors as well. That's going to be really fun. Yeah.
They've only got a few concerts left.
Yeah, I'm looking at like maybe 3 concerts left after the with this one included, everybody. And keep in mind, if there is inclement weather, they'll be moving this over to the PAC over at Lincoln High School, so you can catch it there.
Great.
Find out more at wrccityband.org, wrccityband.org. And want to thank our listeners for letting us know about this one. The Port Edwards Lions Club have their community picnic going on today from 5 to 8.
Oh, wow. That's today.
If it is rained out, it'll be tomorrow on the 24th. Keep that in mind. Got plenty of food available. Hot dogs, burgers, brats, chips, soda. King Cone ice cream going to be down there. Speaking of good ice cream.
Yeah, and hot dogs.
Got bingo at 6, youth games, sponsored by the Port Edwards football team, Monarch presentation at 5:30 by Port Edwards' own, the wonderful Kathy McGrath.
Nice.
Going to have a car show for that, some music from Port Edwards Jazz Band.
Woo-hoo.
It's going to be a lot of fun. And all the proceeds benefit the Lions Service Projects and other local community needs. Taking the Port Edwards Lions Club Community Picnic today from 5 to 8. And again, if there is a rain delay, they'll move it to Wednesday. This taking place at beautiful Alexander Park at 210 2nd Street in Port Edwards.
Awesome.
Melissa, great show today.
Yeah, you too, James.
Have a great one out there. Be good to each other. And we'll talk to you sooner than later right here at...
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.